So if you were here for this last week, you'll note that Jesus has just healed a man born blind. And that man has been ejected from the synagogue. He's been kicked out of the synagogue. Why? Because he would not say that Jesus is a bad guy. He wouldn't say that Jesus is a liar. He wouldn't say that Jesus has a demon. The leaders of the synagogue demanded that. The man would only say good things about Jesus. So he's kicked out of the synagogue. And then Jesus finds him, that man, and then reveals that he is the Messiah. And he forgives the man's sins. And that man worships him. Now, Jesus returns to a conversation with the leaders, those same leaders who had kicked out this man's, Jesus' new friend. And that's where we pick up the story, John 10. Hear the word of God from John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door to the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me. Because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon. He's insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem, which is sort of like Hanukkah. That's Hanukkah. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? And the Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, the scripture cannot be broken. Do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, that you are blaspheming because I said, I am a son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him and said to him, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true, and many believed in him there. Thus ends the reading of God's word. May he write its eternal truths upon our hearts this morning. Amen. So you see here, this is a long chapter, very long. It took me about 5 minutes to read that thing out loud, which is amazing. But you see in it, you've got Jesus initially telling the Pharisees, who are the leaders of the Jewish religious people, a great figure of speech. Shepherds, sheep, gates, enemies, robbers, thieves, hired hands, these sort of things. They don't understand. They're utterly blind to see what he's saying. Jesus goes into more detail, 7 through 18. They still don't get it. They start to get it. They start to say that he's saying that he's God, and they want to take up stones against him. And then he does a little juke move and gets away. Outruns him like D.D. Westbrook. I don't know how he got away. He gets away. So, and then you see that many believed in him after this chapter. So what is the big theme here? The theme is we've got to listen to Jesus and follow him. He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd worth trusting. Let me just start off talking about that idea of trusting and being led. With this one statement, I think is true, is that we're all listeners and we're all interpreters. We all listen, we hear things, and we interpret what we hear. For instance, I'll share the personal email I got this week. You never know who, somebody in this room, I wouldn't share your emails with anybody, but I got this email from a guy named Conrad. Conrad is in the Philippines, and he started out with this hard luck story about how he lost all his money, and he needed me to send him some money. So I haven't told Meredith this yet, but I emptied out our bank account and sent him a bunch of our money. Sound like a good idea? No, absolutely not. Now, this is a scammer, okay? Someone had taken Conrad's address book and spammed everybody with these solicitations for money to be wired to this place, And it's obvious to me, I'm looking at this bad grammar, this is not Conrad writing, it's not his voice, okay? It's a scammer, okay? I have no ears to hear this guy and follow him because he is a total scammer, okay? Whoever's writing this, it's not Conrad. This is not my friend. He's not in the Philippines. I can email him or call him, and figure this out for myself. Okay, that's a lot of what Jesus is simply saying here. It's very simple. You know the shepherd and you follow him. If you know him, okay? He's authentic. His voice is genuine. He speaks to you. And you know scammers. He's no scammer. Was Jesus a scammer? That's what they were asking this poor blind man who'd been blind all his life, who'd been healed by Jesus, to say, Jesus is a scammer. Well, the blind man was not willing to even go there. He wants to investigate it further. And then when he finally met Jesus at the end of the last chapter, he says, this is not a scammer. This is the Lord. This is the man, this is the creator. And here he is, walking in flesh. He's able to take the things that are broken and restore them. See, Jesus is no scammer. If you look at his credentials, we've got to look at his credentials and say, like, is he worth following? Is he a good man or a good God? Or is he evil? That's a good question. So look at the signs that he's done so far. If you've been with us for many months, the first sign that Jesus did was he took water and made it into wine. Why did he do that? He was helping out a couple who were going to be very embarrassed if their wine ran out at their wedding festival, their feast. He takes water and turns it into the best wine. He's making a theological statement, but he's doing a very gracious thing for them. You look at one of the next people he meets is the Samaritan woman in John 4. He takes her, who no one wants to talk to. She's scandalous. No one wants to be her friend. And he offers her living water, changes her life, transforms her life, transforms her community. He gives her grace. Okay, he runs the money changers out of the temple. That isn't good for his poll ratings. Okay, he goes into the temple and just clears house at great cost himself. His next miracle he does, his next sign, is John 5, where he takes a crippled man who has no friends, and he becomes a friend of this man, and he heals this man. He gives him legs again. And this man goes off and really causes trouble for Jesus. He's a big dum-dum. Okay, and so this thing, taking this poor man and fixing him, really was the sort of, you go back through and look at it, this is where all Jesus' trouble really began, because everybody started wanting to kill him at this point. They see him as a threat, they wanted to kill him because he did something really gracious for this man. John 6, he feeds 5,000 plus people and then they all desert him. Okay, he does all these great things. He heals this blind man at great cost to himself, strictly because he's being kind to these people and he's making statements about who he is because he loves us. Is this person worth listening to? Is this person worth following? Is this a good shepherd? Now, if you're not following this man, are you following the devil? Okay, is the devil trustworthy? Devils, okay, like when you think about devils, devils aren't like these like really like ugly, disgusting, red, hairy, horn, you know, like things. When we think of devils, we're not worshiping and bowing down to these sort of images. We might be following a different shepherd, though, than the one that is in the scriptures. We might be following someone rather than Jesus. We might be following this idea out there, or this way of the world. These false shepherds, right? So are we following Jesus? Are we listening to his voice? Are we listening to something else? Now, our movies will tell us this. They'll tell you that every man is a warrior who needs to go out there and become significant by conquering. And every woman deserves to be won over and find love and have a prince, Prince Charming. These are the things, I mean, these are things that we believe we're entitled to. And we will steer our lives around accomplishing those things, these ideas. Maybe you think, well, that's silly. You know, well, I would say that things that we, where we shop even, could tell us a little bit about what we're listening to. Now, I'm a Walmart man myself. You know, I'm kind of a redneck from Arkansas, and I like to go to Walmart because I think cheap and cheaper prices every day is gonna help my life. You know, I need cheaper prices. My wife does not like that. She's a Target person, and so we have a very fulfilling marriage. Even though she's a Target person and I'm a Walmart person, God brought us together. You know, Target really is this. I mean, like Walmart's got Subway. Target has Starbucks. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry, Target people. Okay. I was blanking on what it has because I'm a Walmart guy. You know, Walmart's very practical. You can get a nice sandwich, low calorie turkey sandwich. You know, there's great Starbucks. You can get a $9 coffee with 9,000 calories. Okay. Who's practical here? Okay. So, all right. So Starbucks, Subway. Okay. So Target wants you to believe this. Life is going to be happy if it's efficient, joyful, reliable, and hip. Okay? Happy, reliable, efficient, and hip. Walmart, we're just gonna give you this stuff cheap. Okay? So then you're gonna be happy either way. That's what that's what we functionally think. That's what we're listening to. We're listening to those voices saying, that's what a good life, that's what life is. I'm gonna lead you into life if we have those things. Now, going into more restaurants in that arena right now, the guy who created Walmart, I believe his name is Roy Croft, he says, this is a great quote, write it down. I believe in God, great. I believe in God, I believe in family, and I believe in McDonald's. And then he says, but when I go to the office, I reverse those things. McDonald's first, family second, God third. How many of us live that way? I mean, that's a great quote. It really sums up the way we sort of compartmentalize our lives. We're following one shepherd here, we're following one shepherd there. That's our struggle. We say that we trust Jesus for eternal life and things of that nature, but for the everyday happy life, we're looking to a different shepherd. We're listening to his or her voice and not the good shepherd. And you know what Jesus calls the shepherds that we listen to? Thieves and robbers. Okay, thieves. They want to come in while we're not looking through the back door that we left open because we're not door lockers, and they want to come in through the back door, not the gate where every reputable person would come to our door. They sneak in the back, or they want to catch us in the alley when we're not looking and beat us up. The robbers, they're thieves and robbers. That's who Jesus is saying we don't need to listen to. And you know who he's talking to? He's talking to the Pharisees. He's saying, you guys are that. The religious leaders of the day are robbers and thieves. See, our religious leaders, or we ourselves, can lead people to listen to the wrong voices. You know what these people said when they saw the blind man there? They said, the religious people today, Jesus' disciples, said, "Jesus, whose sin was it that caused this man to be blind? Was it his sin or his parents' sin?" They're saying, here's the way to happiness. It's to do good. If you're not doing well, it's because you sinned really bad. And God's getting you. You know, the Pharisees were leading people towards a different method, or a different way. Being good, be disciplined, and life's going to work out for you. And that's sort of like when we talk about discovering God's will for our life. That's what we mean a lot of times. We mean, I can discover God's will for my life, which is meaning the target lifestyle of happy, efficient, joyful, and hip, reliable, those kind of things. That if we do well, God's going to give us that kind of life, right? Some of us, though, frankly, are going to get cancer, MS. We're going to get fired. And we're going to think, man, is that because I've missed the voice here? What have I not been listening right? Wasn't it supposed to go a different way? And you know what Jesus says to those Pharisees when they ask, hey, is it because of the sin or that sin or what sin caused this? Well, it's not about you and what you did. God has something bigger in mind. He had his glory in mind. And so we simply don't know what's going on all the time when in our lives, what we experience. Well, C.S. Lewis says, this is a great quote, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It's his great megaphone to cause a deaf world to listen, our pains. And Jesus here is coming to these people saying, you're leading people the wrong way. Lead them to me. Lead them to my voice. They're telling people that they're good. They're able to keep the law. They're able to please God just by hard work, discipline, pull themselves up by the bootstraps. Jesus is saying, no, you're born in sin. I've got to rescue you. You're the sheep that's gone away, and I'm going to leave the 99 and go chase you down and bring you home. I have to go rescue you. That's what he's saying. Those kind of pictures are the things he's saying. Okay. There's a Christian parody website I check occasionally, and one of the articles it said was that a woman is horrified because the pastor spent 30 minutes telling her how wonderful, unique, and awesome she is, and then he said, "Hey, but you need to get saved by Jesus." And so that's a great parody of like, "Hey, we need to tell people the truth, the hard truth sometimes, that we have sin and we don't deserve the gifts that we have. It's all by grace." Those kind of things, like those, are not things that play well with us, but that's true. We don't deserve all the good we have. It's all by God's grace, common grace or saving grace. So why should we trust this God? Well, this shepherd, Jesus, he's worthy. I mean, we looked at his resume. He's done all these great things, a great cost to himself, and ultimately he's going to do something even greater. He's going to lay down his life for the sheep. He's going to, he has the authority to do whatever he wants to do, but what is his will? He says he's going to, in verse 11, lay down his life for the sheep. And that makes almost zero sense. He's going to go and die. In their world, that is scandalous, that's offensive, and it says, hey, you can't save yourself, so I have to die for you. That's how bad for you that you are. But that's also how much I love you. I'm that good shepherd. I'm that good shepherd who's going to lay down his life. And you know how shepherds do it. I'm not a shepherding expert, but what you need to know here is they would all get this. When it says that in verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep listened to his voice. The way shepherds shepherded in the day was they would talk to their sheep. They would say, hey, Johnny. And Johnny would come, because he knows that voice. That sheep knows the voice. And he knows his name. That's how God speaks to us. The shepherd, Jesus, leads us. And so, if you're a Christian here today, a lot of you know that voice. But why do we have such hard time following that voice? What is our deal? It's Jesus is making the case it's intuitive to you. You know the robbers, you run from them. You know, we know danger, right? We lock our doors, you know, we know danger. We wouldn't let danger come to us in any other shape, way, shape, or form. But when it comes to following the Good Shepherd, we're sort of just free out there, just letting all the dangerous people take us, you know, getting into trouble, you know, or dumb sheep. You know, I've heard that, you know, sheep will actually, they have all this wool, you know, on them, and they'll get too close to the water sometimes, and the water will just soak up into their wool, and they'll fall into the lake or something like that, or the river, and the shepherd will have to drag them out because they're dumb, you know. Like, we kind of take on that dumb, you know, dumb persona. Why are we doing that? Why are we not listening? Well, we've got to kind of open our ears. It's like trying to have a conversation and listening with those fancy headphones on, the Beats by Dre. You know, how can you have a conversation if you have Beats by Dre on, listening to your iPad or your iPhone? How can you have a conversation if you're blocking it out? You've got to unplug. You've got to open your ears. Really, because he is speaking. How does the shepherd speak to us? Well, I'm always trying to recommend the daily discipline of 20 to 30 minutes a day of just reading the Bible or a good Christian book. And those are on the back table. They're free for you to take. Ask for recommendation. I'd love to give you a great book to read. Spend 20 or 30 minutes reading that, and you'll get through it in a month or so. And you can read another book and another book. And it tricks you into reading Scripture because you're hearing these are Christian books that are quoting Scripture, and they're teaching you about God and the shepherd. You need to open your ears. You have to listen. And listen to Scripture. Not some sort of transcendental meditation where you're not like letting Scripture speak to you. Let Scripture speak to you. Let the Bible speak to you. And then my second suggestion to you as far as unplugging, taking off the headphones and listening, is to spend one day listening. Spend one day. Spend 6 days just working your tail off to accomplish all your goals, and take one day as a spiritual retreat, Sunday. Make it a sacred day for you to listen, for you to spend time with your friends. We're going to be doing a party here the week after Easter, and I would love to sort of be a paradigm for you. We're going to cook out in front of the church here, spend some extra time together that day, and invite all of our neighbors to come and be with us and worship with us and spend time being with each other, encouraging one another, that kind of thing. Spend a day each week and give the Good Shepherd equal time. Give him time. And so in that, you're going to find freedom. You're going to find security, and you're going to find pleasure. Now, I'll tell you, I want to kind of close with this. I learned something this week. I learned something that I actually like yard work. Okay, we were chopping down trees in our front yard, bushes, actually. And I don't really like yard work at all. I don't like being outside or being, you know, I'm not outdoorsy. I'm kind of indoorsy, as they'd say. But with Meredith, I actually like it. Meredith kind of led me to this, to go outside and do this. She said, hey, I need your help out here. So I got into it, liked it, liked doing it with her, like talking during this. And so I think I could do this, you know, and that leads me to like being with the person who I love helped me to see a new pleasure, okay, that I didn't know before. You know, so being with your shepherd really does redefine your ideas of what freedom and security and pleasure are. Security, y'all, is that grip that God, the Son, the Father have on you. Like he says, there nothing can snatch you out of his hands. As he says in verses 28 through 30 of this chapter. Pleasure is being with one, with him, and free from our sin. There's no better thing, but we have to spend time with him. I don't like playing board games unless it's with my kids. It's being with the person, being with Jesus. It will transform where you're going and what you're doing on your journey. Self-denial, these sort of like giving your resources, time, talents, treasures. Those things you don't like to do, but you like to do if you're hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd because you trust him. He's leading you. Getting rid of the immorality in your life, getting rid of your lust and your mistrust and lying and mistruths, all those kind of things are hard, but they're good if they're for the Good Shepherd, because he loves you. He's not leading you somewhere that's going to be bad. He's leading you somewhere good. You can trust him, even though you can't see where he's taking you. Target didn't die for your sins. Walmart didn't die for my sins. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for your sins. When robbers come for you, he doesn't run. He defends you. Target does not defend you. Walmart does not defend you. Jesus defends you. He's the king. He's the shepherd. God has commanded this, that you should not die in your sins, but you should be saved by his grace through faith in Christ, through his mercy. That's how he saves you. It's by him.